Oh God, may we hear your word to us today and not mine. In the name of Christ, amen. Please be seated. Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, I like that response. I love this gospel. It's meant a lot to me because over the years it's helped transform my life in so many ways. And I've loved sharing it out of this paraphrase of the New Testament called the Phillips Translation, or paraphrase, with young people as they sat on a floor unchurched and unknowing anything about the gospel. So they have also found it life transforming. So it's about Zach. We read he's the chief tax collector, which to translate in these days would be head mob boss. He was the head of a crime syndicate in Jericho, a thriving commercial city in those days. And we read he was very wealthy. And he was an outcast, hated by the community because he and his gangster buddies were ripping off the people with taxes and keeping a whole bunch to themselves. And that's why it says he was wealthy. But you gotta believe he must have been unfulfilled, empty, really dissatisfied with his life, because he hears that Jesus is coming. And we read here that it says he wanted to see what sort of a person this was. I gotta believe he was looking for more than just seeing who Jesus was. He was looking for an answer to his life. Well, apparently a caravan of merchants had passed Jesus and his followers on the road and had come to Jericho ahead of him and spread the news. Jesus and his followers are coming along the way. They'll be here any time now. And so Zacchaeus, wanting to see what sort of a person Jesus is, goes out. And it was like the Thomaston 4th of July parade. All the people were lined up on either side with their coolers and folding chairs and beach umbrellas, waiting for the parade to come through. He couldn't, and of course, being the outcast he was, being hated like he was, nobody said, "Hey, get out of here, you rotten crook. You should have come earlier if you wanted a seat." Well, he's very short, it says. So he ran ahead and got into a sycamore tree. And he's thinking, "I got the best seat in the house. I mean, I'm up here camouflaged. I got a great spectator spot." Well, here comes Jesus and his followers. It was a mobile classroom, just like the Trekkers, only they were on foot and Trekkers is in a bus. But he taught as he went, pointing out the lessons from the outdoors. So many of his parables were pointing to the nature around him and learning from that. It was a great classroom. I wish I had been a part of it instead of the ones that I was in. But so they're coming closer and closer, and all of a sudden, the classroom stops right under the tree. And the center of the crowd had stopped. And Zacchaeus, Zach, was just like, OMG. I'm trapped up here. Treed by God. Well, the saints at the bottom of the tree were saying, oh boy, he's gonna get it now. We've been waiting for this. Well, instead, Jesus looks up and says, hey, Zach, how do you know my name? What's in a name? Oh, so much is in a name. When somebody calls me by name, remembers my name, it really makes me feel good because it says to me that I matter somewhat to them. They remember my name and called me by my name. I tell the Trekkers kids leadership this all the time, that this is the most important thing you can do, is call somebody by name. They wouldn't call me by name, but anyway, it reminded me of speaking this gospel to the Children's Village, which in Dobbs Ferry is a huge orphanage or group home. And these young people had been abandoned for a number of reasons. And for no reason that was of their own making. And the chapel was jam-packed, probably twice this size, with young people. And before I spoke, I got to meet a couple of the guys in the front row, two of whom were Jaquan and Jose. So we got to this part, and I said, you know, God in another place in the Bible said, you know, I will never forget you. See, your names are written in the palm of my hands. And I said, see, Jaquan. See, Jose. And I get a little choked up. And I watched their eyes get big because they'd been forgotten all their young lives. And to know that God had their names written on the palm of his hands and said, I'll never forget you, got me choked up in the middle, and their eyes were watering a little bit themselves. But Zach hears his name. And Jesus says, hurry up and come down. I want to be a guest in your house today. What? What? No longer a spectator. It says he hurried down, and the saints at the bottom of the tree, who had been like a bunch of hound dogs with a treed prey, said, now he's gone to be with a real sinner. This was the first day of the rest of Zach's life. His life has turned around. He says, he hurried down the tree and welcomed him gladly, joyfully. This was huge to Zach. And as they're walking off, he stops. hearing the grumbling crowd, and says, "Look, sir, I want to give half of my estate to the poor." Wow. Talk about transformation. To go from being a taker over a moment with Jesus to become a giver. And because he must have known that Jesus was for the poor, especially that Jesus was for the outsider, the outcast. God, all through the scriptures, talked about being for the poor, caring for the poor. And incidentally, it occurs to me as I was reading this that we might be tempted as a parish, St. John's, to be complacent, to be comfortable in our new renovated building with the fact that we've been able to raise some great money to make it happen and forget about our mission for those outside these walls, to the poor and the needy. We've noticed in the past few years, our outreach fund has dwindled. And I remember John and Midge Meyer standing up and urging us, "Hey folks, the outreach fund is kind of small right now. We encourage you to pledge each month above your normal pledge, because the outreach fund takes care of the poor and the needy in our community." Enough said. Well, they go off together to Zac's house. And in those days, you just didn't have the Schwartzes over for burgers. You only had your most intimate family and friends in your house as guests. So what Jesus invited Zac to was the most intimate friendship, relationship. Had he remained a spectator in the tree and said, "No, this is really embarrassing in front of all these people. I'm staying here." He'd have missed out on the most life-transforming and fulfilling relationship of his life that turned his life around. And in closing, I would ask us, if we're tempted to be hiding out in the pews as spectators, as I am so many times, to imagine ourselves in Zac's place in this story and hear Jesus calling you by name, me by name, and inviting us to share an intimate meal with him that's life transforming and turns us around to doing God's business. Amen.